Okay, reading from Jiva Dharma, I believe it's chapter 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Omigana Timirandasya. Jnananjana Shalakaya. Taksurunutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Nayamupakatamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Babaji Mahasai was seated in the Madhavi-arbha chanting Harinam. When he saw Sannyas Thakur's complete change of dress, his awakening of Bhava for Srinam, he embraced him and bathed him with the tears of his love, saying, O Vaishnav Das, today I have become successful by touching your auspicious body. So again, Jiva Dharma is the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And it's situated in Godrandweep, which is the island which exemplifies Kirtan. And it's centered around a very advanced Babaji named Premdas Babaji, who's chanting 200,000 names a day. And Jiva Dharma is the story of various types of people accepting him as a guru and having their doubts cleared. Now, according to the designation of someone, he has different misconceptions. A scientist has misconceptions about, or may have misconceptions about, the existence of spirit. A personalist, they have misconceptions about the difference. He understands there's spirit, but he doesn't understand the difference between spirit and the Supreme Spirit. So in this way, different people come. And through the dialogues of their enlightenment, we get a book called Jiva Dharma, which is systematically one of the most comprehensive texts describing Krishna consciousness. So the first person that comes, and give a little review because we haven't spoken in a while. Last Wednesday, I think I was doing something that I couldn't come, or I forgot about, and then I had to talk spontaneously, and then Sunday it was canceled. So there's a Sannyas Thakur. He's a evolved Mayavadi monk, sannyasi, and somehow or other, although he had some type of deep realization from his renunciation, there wasn't full satisfaction of his heart, because full satisfaction of the heart is love, which is the fulfillment or perfection of consciousness. And meeting a Vaishnav saint somehow or other, without that Vaishnav saint's even knowing, somehow or other, his bhava or his spiritual love touched Sannyasa Thakura's heart. And Bhakti Sandarbha says that everyone will be influenced by a Vaishnava, even without knowing who the person is. So it leads them to a journey to find that satisfaction. Somehow or other, the Bhakti Lata Bij was transferred from under Brahmate Konyavangalan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pilar. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you get the Bhakti Lata Bij, and the Bhakti Lata Bij is the conception and the experience that true sublimity lies in spiritual love or our relationship with God. So having that faith by association, he now seeks to nurture that faith. So faith is about shraddha. That conception, that experience comes. And if that experience is rich enough, you seek out the sangha, you join with those people who have that experience. So somehow he searches out this Premdas Babaji and begins to live in his ashram. And then as his faith increases, it comes to the level of Vajana Kriya. His faith is increased to the level that he wants to adopt practices to achieve the fruition of the sublimity that he's experienced, which is the service of God. But to continue with that faith, there has to be some intellectual support. Your doubts to what you're doing have to be cleared, which means your doubts to the truth of what you're doing has to be cleared. Is this the real Dharma? And what is... Anyway, we went through that discussion, and Sannyasa Thakura wanted to change his dress, and a very important instruction was there that becoming a devotee is a change of consciousness, not a change of dress. And it's such a misconception that spiritual advancement is such an external, is such an external thing. And the guru always has to test the disciple that it's not such an external thing. It's so easy to understand that spiritual life means renunciation. Where in the bhakti cult, it means dedication. And you see, so many people artificially renounce material things that they need to understand the soul. Just like I always explain to people that the material conception of happiness is to try to conform the world to our desires. And it doesn't work. even if you have all the money in the world and can get gunam junam, so women, money, whatever, power, it doesn't work. And people are frustrated who have that power. They become dissatisfied, sometimes even hopeless. Because they place the worst tragedy is to invest your faith, which is your trust in sublimity, in the wrong thing. So people often have that misconception. And then they hear preaching that real happiness is internal. It's not maneuvering the world according to your desires. It's changing your consciousness in relationship to the world. But when you hear that, the tendency is to misunderstand that because happiness is not conforming the world to my desires, that it's not important to conform the world to our needs. But when we conform the world to our needs, when we try to satisfy our desires, a spiritual person understands if I have to endeavor for family or for satisfying my nature and whatever, and I need some confidence, spiritual person understands that although I need that to become happy, that is not happiness in itself. Happiness is the transformation of the consciousness, the filling the heart of spiritual love. So our material needs may be connected to that in the sense that we may need to be satisfied to pursue the higher endeavor of self-realization. The two misconceptions are, well, that happiness is moving the world and conforming it to my desires. Or the second misconception is, I should renounce that totally in my pursuit of happiness. But a Krishna consciousness person, his view is, I have needs for my happiness. I have needs to be peaceful to pursue my happiness of transformation of consciousness. And I'll renounce those things that I don't need for that purpose. So generally the guru will test the disciple or instruct the disciple who has that misconception. Now that I'm in Krishna consciousness, I should leave everything. Because that can take someone very, very far away from the endeavor and understanding that the happiness will come, the spiritual life will come, by changing the consciousness. And I only change the situation if it facilitates the change of consciousness. So Prem Das Babaji said, no, you don't need to change your dress. It's premature. Change your consciousness and let your dress be a reflection of your consciousness. Don't think by changing your dress you will change your consciousness. But then one day, Sannyas Thakur in his Nambajan, sees the uprakat Mayapur. He sees the spiritual world. he sees the spiritual world. There's Prakat and Uprakat. There's in the Holy Dham. There's something that's manifest, but there's something beyond what is manifest. And I have so much experience of that phenomena and sharing that phenomena. Some people come to Vrindavan without the proper guidance, and they see a horrible place. And some people come with guidance and see the spiritual world. Externally, they're seeing the same thing. But one person with the proper guidance is able to perceive the consciousness behind the external. To some extent, at least find some sweetness there. Just like my cousin, Maseva Bharati, who's a sannyasini in the Himalayas. And I hosted her in Vrindavan. I should do that again this year. I hosted her in Vrindavan. And, you know, she was in the Himalayas, and she was very announced, but she was saying, what is this sweetness here? What is this sweetness here? And then I took her to Govardhan, and there's even more sweetness. There's even more sweetness, and that's our philosophy. There is Madhurya. There is a very sweet feeling of Vrindavan, which intensifies in Govardhan. I was just... today, there's one very nice lady who came to Krishna consciousness. And her father owns several supercar washes and detail centers. So every year I go there. They detail my car. It means they make it spotless. They clean everything. It's a pleasure. And then she manages the finances of the company. But I sit in the office and we catch up. But she explained her experience in Vrindavan. How it's such a spiritual transformation. And she says, I'm not imagining this because everyone else on the tour is experiencing the same thing. So he sees Uprakat, or not physically manifest, obviously, has an ecstatic experience internally, then he changes his dress. When he feels it's commensurate with the consciousness that he has. So now he's Guru sees him and sees that he's awakened this Baba for Srinam, and he embraces him and he says, oh, Vaishnav Das, that has become special. But so he initiates him just in that exchange. Awakening Bhav for Srinam. This weekend I went to the Sadhu Sangha retreat in Texas because the facilitator of that, Ram Vijay, lived in Albany and his house hosted the programs. I became very close with his family and he just begged me to attend, and they made all facilities. My ticket was paid and I got a beautiful cottage. And I wasn't a presenter. I just came as a participant. And it was a wonderful experience. I sat not less than 7 hours a day chanting, and kirtans were amazing. B.B. Govindaswamy and his Kazakh band, this incredible electric violinist and that saxophone player, and Sachinananda Swami and Ananta and Achyuta and Badahari, B.B. Govind. It was just, I would sit, and I really sitting for 7 hours. And I was just thinking, you know, when will the ecstasy come? Although it was very pleasant, and it was the level of transformation I'm seeking? But actually, it just became sweeter and sweeter. And I just, you know, it's kind of, someone said, it's like when you take poison. An analogy, initially the effect won't be there, but the effect is already programmed into your body, and then the poison will act later. So it's kind of an analogy, but it was, and I got out of that retreat, and all I wanted to do is chant. And I had interest, I didn't have interest for anything else. So, awakening Bob for Srinam by that association, by spending that time, there's a reciprocation. Reciprocation is a sambandha. And the symptom of a sambandha or relationship is love, and the symptom of love is relationship. So this Sannyas Thakur, he has awakened Nam Ruchi. With that statement, Sannyas Thakur's previous name was forsaken. He received a new life from that day and was now known as Vaishnav Das. Thus, he abandoned his Mayavadi dress, his prestigious Sannyas name, and the exalted conception he had of himself. So, there was so much prestige in a particular sannyas name. Unfortunately, the nature of material consciousness is that we want to appropriate anything in the service of the ego. And the egotistical conception is, his enjoyment is conforming the world to my desires. And to do that, I need power. I need respect. And therefore, it's so hard to give up prestige and titles and names that give you that facility to control and enjoy. So now, Vaishnav Das has given that up because he has Baba. When you have Baba, you're not interested in controlling the world to conform to your desires. You're interested in consciousness. That becomes your objective. And therefore, that consciousness is expressed in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And that consciousness is nourished by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So that becomes the objective. That afternoon, many Vaishnavs came to Sri Pradyumna Kunj from Sri Godram and Sri Namadyup Deep to see Paramahamsa Babaji. They all sat surrounding him, chanting Hari Nam with Tulsi Mala in their hands. They called out, Hey Gauranga, Nityananda, Hey Sritana, Jai Sachinandana. Their eyes welled with tears. The Vaishnavas discussed among themselves topics related to the confidential service of their Ishtadev. And then after circumambling Tulsi, they offered obeisances. So they're discussing what? Their Ishtadev. They're discussing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. The forms of God whom they have a relationship with. At that time, Vaishnav Das also circumambulated Sri Vrindadevi and rolled in the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. It's the culture, but more than the culture, he feels it. He feels it overwhelmingly. To get that level of sadhu sangha and humble oneself before the lotus feet of such a sadhu. And he has faith in that humility to the extent that the dust that has touched the feet of such Vaishnavas is their goal. Some of the Vaishnavas whispered to one another, Isn't that Sannyas Thakur? What an extraordinary appearance he has today. Rolling on the ground, before the Vaishnavas, Vaishnav Das said, Today my life has become successful. I have obtained the dust of the Vaishnavas' lotus feet. This is bhakti. There's so much respect for God and a humility before God. Realizing that God is so far, by definition, is so far beside our endeavor. That to obtain it and obtain things in relationship is such mercy. The dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, the water that washes their feet, the nectar emanating from their lips. These three items are the menaces and the way of life for the patient afflicted with the disease and material existence. They have faith in Vaishnavas. And these things, the dust of his feet, the water that washes their feet, and the prasadam, they are the cure for the entire material disease, and they are also the source of transcendental enjoyment for a healthy soul who has become free from this affliction. Just like Ayurveda, it's to make the sick healthy and the healthy healthier. It's the same thing. To purify the material existence, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. And if you've already are liberated, then take shelter of the lotus feet of Vaishnava to enjoy Bhava and Rasa. So Sannyas Thakur goes on, O Vaishnavas, please do not think that I am trying to show off my scholarship. My heart has now become free from all such egotism. I took birth in a high Brahmin family and entered the sannyas ashram, which is the fourth stage of social order. As a result, my pride knew no bounds. So subtle. The qualities that are even respected, that are even spiritual, can increase one's pride. They can increase one's pride. I am a Brahmin. I am a sannyasi. Pure material consciousness, designation. I am better than you. When I became attached to the Vaishnava principle, the seed of humility was sown in my heart. When you experience mercy, you embrace humility. I've been able to cast off the vanity of my noble birth, the pride of my learning, and the arrogance of my social status. Now I know that I am destitute and insignificant jiva. I was being ruled by the false ego of being a Brahmin, but by my learning and by my status as a sannyasi. I submit all this before your lotus feet with full simplicity. You may deal with this servant however you feel fit. So he surrendered and he has that fit. He has that faith. I don't have ego to be separate. I am yours. In the Prahlad Maharaj, the very, very famous verse where he describes that one has all 12 brahminical qualities. If one is not a devotee, which is synonymous with humility, one cannot even save oneself. Because elevation of the self means to purify oneself of that egotistical conception. To be happy with the pleasure of God and unconcerned with my status and position in the world, because I no longer have a desire to enjoy it. I only want to serve it. I don't need a position to be the servant. On the other hand, Lord Maharaj said that even a person who's a dog eater, if he's a devotee, if he's humble, he could deliver the whole world. And I see that sometimes you see the simplest devotee. Who may not even be in the highest culture, but they're humble and it's inspiring. I'm thinking of the Boston Temple. There's one godbrother of mine that's been there for many years and has serious, serious mental problems. Serious mental problems. But he comes every day to clean the temple and serve the Vaishnavas. And that's so attractive. And that's what ultimately Krishna sees is our heart. How much we want to serve. How much we are free from pride. How much we are available for service because we want to please Guru and Krishna. Now I know that I am a destitute and insignificant jiva. I was being ruined by my false ego as a Brahmin, by my learning, and by my status as a sannyasi. I submit all this before your lotus feet with full simplicity. You may deal with this servant however you seem fit. When the Vaishnavas heard Vaishnava Das's humble words, many of them said, "O best of the sadhus, we're eager to obtain the dust of the feet of a Vaishnava like you. Please bless us with the dust of your lotus feet. You are the object of Paramahamsa Babaji's mercy. Please purify us by making us your associates. So now, another tattva is being introduced, and that's Vaishnav tattva. What is a Vaishnav and the importance of getting the association of someone who has humility and gratitude and spiritual love in their hearts? So now these people, the Vaishnavas, seeing Vaishnav Das, seeing his exalted nature, they're appreciating it, and they quote from the Brihat Naradiya Purana, Bhaktistu Bhagavat Bhakta Sangena Parijayate Satsanga Papyate Pumbi Sukritai Purva Sanchita. Bhakti is awakened when one associates with the Bhaktas of Sri Bhagavan. Association with Shuddha Bhaktas is obtained only by the accumulation of transcendental pious activities performed over many lifetimes. There is nothing more fortunate than having the association of someone with spiritual love in their heart. We've accumulated a sufficient stock of sukriti, pious activities that foster bhakti, and that is how we have obtained your association. Now, by the strength of that association, we aspire for Hari Bhakti. When the Vaishnavas had concluded their exchanges of mutual respect and humility, Vaishnav Das sat down on one side of the assembly, thereby enhancing its dignity. The Hari Namala looked brilliant in his head. So he's Bhagam Janmanam Mante Yanavamam Papajite Vasudeva Samahatma Sudulava. The Mahatma, when a Jnani comes to Krishna, he can very closely begin as a platform of pure devotional service because he's thoroughly realized and detached from the world. And therefore, he comes only with a platform of love because he has no attachments in the world. So when one comes from the platform of Gyan, he can come from the platform of love. That day, a fortunate gentleman was sitting with the Vaishnavas. He had taken birth in an aristocratic Brahmin family, was also a zamindar, wealthy landlord. He had studied Arabic and Farsi from childhood and had developed a significant reputation in the country, for he had courted many of the Islamic royalty and was also expert in group dynamics and political strategy. Although he had enjoyed his position and opulence for many years, it had brought him no happiness. At last, he had taken up the practice of Harinam Sankirtan. So position and opulence, not happiness, flourishing of the soul, a change in consciousness is happiness. So now we're going to follow another person coming to Krishna consciousness. In his childhood, the gentleman had been trained in Indian classical music by some of the most prestigious music masters of Delhi. Because of that training, he had become strong enough put himself forward as the lead singer during performance of Harinam Sankirtan. The Vaishnavas did not like his polished classical style of singing. He would show off some of his musical artistry during Sankirtan and then took opportunity at others' faces for recognition. He continued to lead kirtans for many days. And gradually he began to experience some pleasure in Sankirtan. After some time, he came to Sri Gaudram in order to join the Kirtan programs of Navadvipa Vaishnavas. And he took up residence in the ashram of the Vaishnav there. On that particular day, accompanied by that Vaishnav, he had come to Pradyumna Kunj and was sitting in the Malati Madhava Mandap. When he saw the Vaishnava's humble behavior towards each other and heard Vaishnav Das's words, many doubts arose in his mind. Being this skilled orator, he audaciously raised the following inquiry before the assembly of Vaishnavas. The Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, the Brahmin caste is the highest caste. According to these Shastras, religious rites such as chanting Brahma Gayatri and other Vedic mantras at dawn, noon, and sunset, Sandhya Vandanam, are considered to be Nitya Dharma for the Brahmins. As these activities are obligatory, why is Vaishnav behavior opposed to them? Vaishnavas have no taste for argument and debate. If the question had been put by an argumentative Brahmin, they would not have replied for fear of becoming embroiled in a battle of words. However, since they saw that the present questioner regularly sang Hari Nam, they all said, "We'd be most happy if Paramahamsa Babaji Maya say answer your question." Well, he doesn't answer it because he's not interested. A lot of argument is just a means to gain power to control. And therefore, people are so attached to their arguments, but more attached to their arguments than they are for the truth. So this will be the next thing that's discussed. And a tremendous misconception in India today. And there are good reasons why it's misunderstood, and there are good arguments why Brahmanism is important. But it ultimately we'll have to see what is our Siddhanta or philosophy. Are there any questions? Would anybody like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Krishna, Gail.
Yeah, this point that you, you know, often make that, you know, we want people to, I don't know, think of ourselves in a particular way for the, so that we can control them.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's not that clear to me. I can understand that we want people to think of ourselves in a particular way for the sake of admiration, but to go from admiration to wanting to control something like manipulation, I don't know.
Well, it's the more opulence we have, the more people will serve us. That's the psychology. That's the way things work. Just like if there's a big movie star, you know, people would mind serving them. And if there's a person with money, people want to serve them. So the more people have power, the more they have facility to get to have authority over people.
And so you think that's our really ulterior objective is to get that? Because I can see the wanting, the admiration, you know, but...
But for what? Of course, yeah, there's one control, right? One type of control is just we're seeking to have that sense of superiority. And the other type of thing is the sensual pleasure. and the egotistical pleasure that we get from controlling resources. That's the inner psychology behind it. Even though it may not be so conscious, that's the inner psychology. People want control. Because without control, you can't conform the world to your desires. People want sex life. People want money. People want reputation. People want adulation. These are material conceptions. Okay?
Okay, I guess I have to get to those things.
Yeah. You're too pure, Gail.
Huh?
Okay, you're too pure.
It's impure?
You're too pure.
All right.
Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Hi, both. Thank you, Govardhan. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is this?
Hi, it's Malone.
Who? Oh, Malone. Wow. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. I'm so happy that you're on the class. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Wonderful class.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. Good. So happy when people hear. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can answer today. Thank you all.